100 laps, 5 to go at the line. 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number 1. They start to fan out. Coming off a 2. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4. White flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers. Anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out. 2 by 2. 3 wide coming off the turn number 2. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top. Trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4. There's still 2 by 2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 Thank you very much, kids, ladies, gentlemen. How y'all doing? I'm Jason Beckner. This is Inside Florida Racing, the inaugural. Yeah, I guess you could call it the inaugural. I can't even say inaugural. But the inaugural show right here live at the Real Racing USA Karnak.com studios. And I am, I guess, the host of the show. And I guess I'll call them my sidekicks is actually Carol Wicks and Jack from Karnak. Everybody knows the man behind the mask.
I've been called worse than a sidekick now.
Trust me. So have I.
Well, it's like you know, you guys threw, okay, you're going to be leading the show. Okay, cool. Everybody else is a sidekick.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Wake me up when you're done, Jason.
Oh, okay, no problem. Don't worry, Carol. We'll get to you. So how you doing today, dear?
I'm doing fine. I'd like to welcome everybody to our first show. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, I'm sure.
See, she was so afraid, and I threw it to her, and she talked.
She's already frowning at me. She's scared to death. That I'm gonna
it's I like think a, you're going to kick me if I goof.
No, there ain't no goofing here.
We don't goof.
There's going to be a lot of goofing here.
We don't goof. If we goof, we'll have to call up Bill Green and Rick Angies to come take over. We don't want that to happen. Now, do we?
I ain't touching it.
Oh, no. You will probably get a phone call now. If we need a train wreck, we'll call those guys. I heard what they did. That was pretty funny. Jack's going to have to let me hear that a little bit later on.
So we are going to do a show that's going to include a lot of the fans in the stands because that's fun.
Well, no. We're going to include the fans. I mean, it's like anything. The fans is what makes this business go around and around, the proverbial round and round. The fans pack the stands. The fans, the drivers are there to race for them. I mean, you know. I like putting on a show for people. I'd want to show up and see everybody in the stands. So those are the folks you have to make happy. You know, you either love them or hate them, and I love them.
You have to say that.
Well, I mean, you're a fan. Otherwise, you wouldn't do what you do on Saturday night.
That's the only reason I do it. That is the absolute only reason I do it. I mean, I'd love to be able to do it for free. I mean, that would be way cool. But
I'm sure we can arrange that with Mr.
Jack Smith spends about 48 hours a day doing all this racing stuff, and guess what? He's a football fan.
Really?
There he is, number 13, Dan Marino.
Oh, he no longer plays, does he?
Not for about 10 years or so.
Now, okay, this is funny.
Jason, you're young.
The thing is, growing up, I was a hardcore baseball fan when I was young. You know, I wanted to see, you know, Cincinnati Reds play every chance I got. You know, I was a kid. I looked up to Pete Rose. Yeah, poor guy. Anyway.
I shared a tent with Pete Rose at the polo grounds in West Palm Beach. No. There was about 100 people in it with us.
Okay.
We've gone from racing to baseball in a hurry. First show, it took two tents with Pete Rose.
To polo. Okay.
That was less than 5 minutes racing to baseball. Inside Florida Racing. No, seriously. I mean, you know, I grew up a baseball fan, and whenever they did their whole turnaround, you know, they went on strike, then they went on strike again. And I'm like, man, my grandfather's rolling over in his grave. I went, that's it. You know, my dad started getting into racing when I was young, you know, 7, 8 years old. I mean, my job every weekend after the races was to go pull the mud out of the car because we ran dirt track up north. And then we moved down here to Florida and started racing asphalt and been racing asphalt ever since. But, you know, I, Racing's racing. If it's on dirt, if it's on asphalt, if it's in the sand, it doesn't matter. Racing is racing. Two people could go out in the front yard and run from one end of the block to the other. They're racing.
Okay, so who are our guests tonight?
You don't know?
Yeah? It's just you're on a roll there. I thought I'd let you go for it.
No, that's all right. We're going to try to get Wayne Anderson. He'll probably be on a little bit later on because he's probably up there practicing tonight at Ocala for the James Powell Memorial Race. And let's see, Kurt Jett, B.J. Calvin, Don Sutter, HTC from the message board,
Uh-oh. The
Carnac message board, String Bean. And what's that, Jack?
Well, the number, too, is 941-219-3576.
Okay, here we go. Wait a minute. You got to tell me that number again, Jack.
941-219-3576.
3576. So the number is 941-219-3576. Man, I don't know what to do. We're going to have a telephone.
Yeah, check this out. We have Mr. Don Sutter on the line. Think you want to talk to him? You guys ready for this? Your very first guest on Inside Florida Racing.
Good thing I've known him for 100 years.
You know, I couldn't think of a better guest to have first off on the show because that's my home track that he shows up at quite a bit. So welcome to the show, first guest, Don Sutter. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be on your show. I didn't realize I was going to be the first guy, but that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. How about that? Don, you are probably, right next to Carol, probably one of the biggest race fans in Florida.
Hold it. You do not use the word biggest.
Oh, well, now.
Well known will do fine. Thank you.
Okay. One of the well-rounded racing fans.
Oh, no. There you go again.
That's just short of asking her age.
I know, I know.
Start over, Jason.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I'd have to say that Don and Carol are probably the most enthusiastic race fans in the state of Florida.
I travel a little more than Carol, so.
So
if I wouldn't know anything if it wasn't for Don...
At least some of the stuff
Ooh.
We have going on in Florida, right?
Yes.
I made sure she got over to New Smyrna Speedway a couple different times. Even made sure she watched the beginning of the race at the 24 hours so that she could understand how big Daytona was.
He's dragged me all over this state. Thank goodness.
That's a lot of miles.
And yes. I gave her first dirt experience up there at East Bay.
You certainly did.
What do you think about dirt, Carol?
It tastes pretty good. I sit in the first row because I have two children, and you know what that's like at East Bay.
Now, this might be just me. I'm not sure. Maybe this is you too, Don. But are the best hot dogs in the world, they come from dirt tracks, don't they?
Well.
They're gritty dogs.
I usually go for the burgers.
I love dirt track hot dogs. It's got that hint flavor of
clay.
Red clay.
But there's nothing better than a little dirt in your beer, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Especially when it's in a cup.
See, it's so hard for me to get out and go to any dirt tracks in the state because I'm always so busy Saturday night with the announcing at the track and everything. But I was looking on the message board. Don, have you got a chance to go out to the new Hendry County Speedway yet?
No, I haven't been out there. One of the problems I have is my race companion, Jim, has a very much a dislike for dirt tracks, even though I love them because some of my start in Wisconsin was at some tracks up in north of Milwaukee. But he doesn't like dirt tracks, and so I can't drag him there, and we usually try to hit most of the asphalt tracks with some of the bigger races and also the local work here, too.
You can dump them and get a new partner. I didn't say that, Jim.
Oh, man.
I don't think Jim's listening. He hasn't got all that time, I guess, to do that.
Hey, Don, when was the first time that you went to Daytona International Speedway?
Well, Well, my parents moved me to Florida when I was 17, and so in 1962, I went and watched Fireball Roberts win the race. We were down in the infield. Somebody said, hey, you got about $5 or $10? And they took me over there, and that was my first experience at Daytona. And I felt like I was in a big old motorhome compared to what, you know, the way things are out there now. We had the run of the place. It was quite empty back in 62.
Man, I'm probably going to get you to show your age, but did you get to ever see them race the convertibles at Daytona?
No, I didn't. Probably didn't follow it a lot until, you know, later in my life as far as getting to the track more often. I was working in Titusville one time, and my dad had about 17 tickets on the front stretch. That was in the 70s. So you can tell that, you know, things have gone a long way since then. He wishes he had those 17 seats now.
Big time, yeah, absolutely. One of the, you know, I just finally was getting some information from Jack and Carol. I mean, and just knowing that you started going to the races at that time, I mean, that was such a long time ago. I'm a young guy. But at the way racing has gone from, well, you could even say NASCAR, but just short track racing in general, I mean, has, from what you've seen at going to all these different tracks in the state and today, I mean, has the racing gotten better or has it gotten worse? I mean, what I'm basically trying to say is have, even though we have progressed and the speeds have gotten better and safety has gotten better, but what about the all-around show of the race?
Well, probably the show was better before, and I think the thing that's happened is costing so much for the drivers to be able to put something that's competitive out there that there's less and less that can be in it. And I guess, and some of my background goes to, like I say, the dirt tracks in Wisconsin, where I watched people like a guy that was the three-wheel mouse, Miles and Miles Melius, run on the track, and crazy names like Fuzzy Fosbender and these people. But a lot of them were sponsored by the automakers, and they actually worked on the cars and brought them out. Now, those were the modified stocks that we used to watch, which were almost prelude to the sprint cars. But I do believe that we've had a change, you know, with the fields seem to get smaller. I was here when Leroy ran the track here in Charlotte County, and watching, you know, the number of late models we had either every week or and those were what are now super late models was phenomenal to see that many cars, and it's just almost impossible to do it today.
Who do you think out of all of our Florida racers will become one of the upcoming stars in racing?
Well, you've got
who do you think has the most potential?
Kind of come through the thing between Justin Grotti and Travis Kittleton and Jeff Chiquette. I mean, even reading names like Wayne Morris, he's run some of the ASA work and had watched him in a lot of the limited late. And my first time watching him was up at Lakeland one time in limited late, and he was digging like you won't believe at the end of the race. And it's something to watch when you go to a track and all of a sudden somebody stands out. I understand that he also is driven in some of the gas series, the Georgia Asphalt series.
That's it.
I'm going to miss the Powell Memorial tomorrow, but because I'm going to be on my way up to Alabama and then across and maybe have a chance to get to Cordell and see that race that's going up there, and then end up in Greenville, North Carolina, which is near Southern National Speedway. That would be first time at those tracks, but I'm kind of expanding, I guess, out of the state of Florida somewhat, but hopefully we'll see many of our regular drivers.
Did you say you're going to Greenville, South Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina, okay. All right.
Yep.
Well, let me know when you want to go to Greenville, South Carolina. I got a hookup up there.
You got a hookup up there, okay.
Yeah, their last name is Beckner, too.
Beckner, too.
Everybody's name is Beckner.
But, you know, you were always out on the track, so you never got to see the fact that I was sitting there with your whole family up on that same place up there That was my normal spot to sit during the races while you were out on the track.
Oh, down there towards turn one. My mom up there with the video camera.
Yes, yes.
So, hey, Don, what these days do you find to be the most entertaining or, exciting for you as a fan around Florida?
Well, I enjoy the super late model races. I try to get over for at least three or four of the days in Speed Week over at New Smyrna around Daytona. I really don't go to that many NASCAR races. I do go to Homestead. But Daytona is almost too big. I like the short track, and I'm sure there's many NASCAR followers that hardly realize there are short track races going on. You know, I my friend Jim doesn't really like the bombers or the Road Warrior type cars, but it seems to be able to put on the best show. They've become a lot more experienced today than they were, a number of years ago, and They do a super job putting that on, and I know they work hard at it.
That's probably one of my favorites right there too. I mean, I love watching the late models. I will break my leg to go see a late model race. I will cancel things to go see a late model race. Carol,
I almost had to break your legs to get you to go to Ocala tomorrow.
Well, this I love the bombers. The bombers,
me too,
are the heart and soul of what racing used to be, because, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Don, you've been around racing quite a while. You've been to quite a few tracks, but it just seems to me that your Road Warrior, your Renegades, your sportsman type classes, that's where racing came from. That's how that was their stepping stone to get up into the late model cars, or into ARCA or whatever that was. I mean, I just think that drivers are so much more passionate in those bomber series.
Well, they can afford to be, too. It's a little bit different when you get up in the super late models.
I mean, you got to spend a lot of money.
I think they as well put on a good show for us. But you're right. The bombers really go out of their way. The Road Warriors. Speaking of Road Warriors, what do you think about Charlotte County's... I'm having a mental block here. Motorsports Park, Don.
Yeah.
Do you like the changes?
Well, I do. I've had different people, talk to me while I've been in the stands there and say, well, these people have been there for a year. I said, no, they've been here since January. And I said, it's kind of hard to get everything cranked up and going overnight, but Bobby Deal has done a super job there in bringing the talent in and is working his way up and trying to give the fans something to watch. And it's nice to have the little added things like the Green Mamba when that was here, and some of the other things like your boat racing. It's just a little added flair, I guess, that goes on. And it's not a true crash or ramble show, and I don't usually go to that. But it really is nice to that is a little bit of a mix.
Don, I love getting input from the fans, and my big thing is, what can we do as track employees, maybe promoters, owners, what can they do to make the show a lot more enjoyable for the fan? Now, I understand, you got to get crashes cleaned up, and it's hard sitting around and waiting for, the cleanup, and you're running under cautions and stuff like that. I know that is a big complaint. We try to get stuff like that cleaned up. I mean, all the tracks around here do. But what do you think could be one big thing that tracks have gotten away from that they could start bringing back?
Well, one of the things that I looked at is sometimes if you have a very large field of cars, the last chance races help in that. And that could even be, whether it's a 30-lap, 50-lap bomber special race or a Road Warrior special race. But sometimes they really, if they had the heat races that actually qualified you to get in, and then there was still a last-chance race if something had happened during that heat race. And this, I don't know when that would be done, whether that can be done the day before, if on a Friday, to be able to get to that point, or earlier in the day. But some of the classes, when you have too many, participants, it's very difficult to try to, run heat race, run heat races and then try to run the feature. But the heat race was just more of a practice.
Yeah, that was probably, I think that was going to be my next question was, do you think these track owners are bringing in too much at one time? I mean, too many classes on one night. Yes. I like to get in, watch a show, and get out. I mean, I love racing. I'd sit around all night and watch it. But, you have to do it in a certain amount of time. Do you think that tracks are bringing in too many shows on one night?
Well, of course, I kind of have a lot of time back and forth between Charlotte County Motor Park and also up at Soto Speedway. I know they don't run heat races there except maybe for the sprint cars and maybe a few other ones. And that helps move the show along. I know you guys provide the Friday night practice, a chance for people to go out there then. I don't know how many people, show up for it. I consider the practice beforehand and then not having to have the heat races would help a little bit as far as having the number of, how many classes that you have. At least the show would move along a little bit quicker.
I see. You mentioned DeSoto and everything too. Between DeSoto and Charlotte County, you said that DeSoto doesn't normally run heat races?
That's correct.
Okay. Do a lot have, Citrus or Orlando, those other tracks that you've been to, do most of them run heat races?
Well, I don't go to a regular show like at New Smyrna, so everything that I was watching was there for the Speed Week show that they put on of 9 days. That they run there, and they don't run heat races there at that time. I guess from the East Bay standpoint, when you go to the Winter Nationals there, you're watching heat races that allow you to get into the field because they're running, anywhere from 60 to 70, 80 cars, and they have to time trial them and then run heat races to qualify to get into the feature, but you're only running one or two classes of car that night.
Whenever a lot of these tracks do the big shows, when they have the late models or the Hooters or any, what's wrong, Carol? You all right over there? I saw you falling asleep. She gave me a dirty look. Oh, now you're going to make me talk. if you need to cough, go right ahead. It's okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jack just turned on the light, so I guess I can pick my head up here now.
Norman!
What is that?
Norman! Don, whenever you go up for the big races and stuff like that, you get your 100 lappers or 200 lappers, Hooters or the Arcas and stuff like that. Do they bring support classes in to run like maybe a class afterwards or before them?
Well, they do. Lakeland normally has, and their super late model race will start at 7:30, and then they'll either have the truck series and sometimes open wheel modified that, running the same night. They normally have about three classes. Most of us are there for the big one. It's done and over with. And then, if you want to leave, you can, or especially if you're traveling and have to get back to Charlotte County where I live, it's about 100 miles and, it's time to go. Now I got to Citrus County one time, but it got rained out that particular night, and that was after watching a super late model race, probably a Sunbelt series up at the Ocala Speedway, which always is a thrill. And I'm sorry I'm going to miss this one here for the James Powell Memorial race.
Well, Don, I tell you what, this is going to be my first time going to Ocala Speedway, and I will take notes. And next time I see you, I will let you know what happens up there.
Well, that's good. My first time was there when I actually went to high school there. So,
oh, cool.
I was dating my wife-to-be, that was, a long time ago. and I went back 30 years later, and they still had the same bathrooms. And, locale and know which ones I'm talking about. Luckily, they now done a fantastic job of putting new stands in and new facilities. They certainly weren't handicapped facilities. But
I was gonna go check for numbers on the wall.
Don, we're going to have to take a quick break here. And okay.
Yeah.
We certainly enjoyed having you on the show and would love to have you back on again.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I got plenty more stories.
I know you do. I hope you have a safe trip and eat your heart out. We're going to Ocala.
All right. Thank you all.
Have a good one. Thank you.
Take care, Don. Thank you very much, sir. We're going to... Need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stuff. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stuff?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Oh, yeah, this is just like real radio. This is real radio. It's Inside Florida Racing with Racing Jason Beckner and the beautiful Miss Carol Wicks.
Oh, my goodness. How are you, people?
Oh, my. I'm going to come over and give you a kiss. Because this, see, I didn't do it. Mwah, there you go.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, guys, the lines just lit up here. And wouldn't you know it, I mean, somebody had to be our first caller. And, you know, I guess it's your boss checking up on you, Jason.
No, it's not my boss.
I guess so.
You're kidding.
No, I guess so.
My boss is as big as me.
Yeah, Bobby Deal is on the line. I'm sure he's got something to say to you.
Oh, boy. Hey, Bobby.
Man, I'm telling you. How do you get you the three of the most popular people in Florida in one place?
Hey, Bobby.
That is so cool.
That's a lot. It's a lot of beer and Slim Jims.
Well, I don't drink.
There we go, Budweiser, and what's that red thing Slim did sell?
Oh, the, beef jerky?
There you go, the beef jerky.
There you go. What's going on, man?
Man, we just had so many things happening. We just, you know, there's so many people that are involved just wanting to make this this thing become the palace it really should be. You know, Charlotte County Motorsports Park, I just can't say it enough. Gosh, we, every day, today we had a company come on board, and we'll be making an announcement once we ink it, but they're going to donate all the paint to repaint the whole stadium.
Oh, my God. Hey,
I thought Linda was going to do that.
Who?
Linda.
Well, she's going to paint it. This guy's going to paint.
Hey,
no, just kidding.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, can I make a suggestion? I mean, maybe we can have a vote on it with the fans. I mean, we could either have white concrete walls around the track, or we could have the red and white walls, or we could do like they did at Lowe's Motor Speedway, the other Charlotte Speedway.
Oh, yeah, the little one.
Yeah. doing the fluorescent Lowe's yellow.
Yeah.
Do what?
Did you see the color they had painted on the walls at Charlotte Motor Speedway in North Carolina when they did the All-Star race?
You know,
Okay, Bobby, you're breaking up, buddy. You
stand
there?
Stand still.
You there?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, great.
Next tell hell.
Guy is my hero. You know, he does stuff. The problem we have is, you know, our competitors at Marsite, you know, Pool.
Yes.
You know, Mr. Marsite.
Uh-huh.
Patrick, you know, I mean, they're doing all the painting on the walls. They already have the white paint.
Right.
You know, and, you know, so the first time around, we're going to have to be white again. But, you know, yellow's pretty cool. You know, I've been wanting to get the turns 1, 2, and 3 and 4 all labeled, you know, as the turns.
Yes.
And, you know, Charlotte County on the backstretch, but it sure seems like we rub off all the white all the time.
Hey, to change the subject a little bit, what do you got going on there tomorrow night?
You know what? Tomorrow night is going to be pretty doggone interesting. I think we have 9 different classes running. Yeah. Which means, man, we're going to have to take that citrus fill. So how do you get in 9 divisions, 160 cars, and be done by 11 o'clock? we're going to have 2 really neat races, which is the Super Stocks are going to run a 50-lapper specialty race. We've got a bunch of the DeSoto guys that aren't running this weekend. They want to come over and add a little weight to their stuff.
Awesome.
And, come over and try to steal all our money. Yeah, so I've got...
That's cool. More power to them, man.
Oh, sure. Hey, it's all about putting a racetrack full of race cars, and then that way the fans get what they're supposed to do. And, you know, but that's what it's all about, you know, filling the grandstands by having the racetrack full. So we've got that. We also have a 50-lap sportsman race. You know, that's going to be super. They've been all be just and even our competitors are paying the fast lap doing it. They could win $700. You know, by setting fast time and going to the rear. We have that, you know, challenge, the fast challenge.
Right,
Sports
right.
Association of Short Track Challenge, which is something else we got going on. Don't want to let it all out at one time.
Well, yeah, it's funny. You can say, what's going on, Bobby Deal? And he will just go.
Well, you know, when you say, it's hard to get the trigger back when you pull it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I just have to say, I'm going to step back away and put it in the fan perspective and growing up at the track there. And I have to say thank you for what you've done, what you've come in and done, what you've done with the track. And truly, that's from the bottom of my heart and from everybody in my family and friends that have grown up there at the track.
Well, you just said something that's the key word. It's family.
Yeah.
And as I always say, it's not about me. I'm just the guy that pays the rent, so we have a place to do it, you know?
You're way too modest, Bobby Deal. You have done wonders for racing, and unfortunately, we got to get rolling here, and I'm going to see you tomorrow night for a great night of racing at Charlotte County Motor Sports Park.
Saturday night, Carol.
Yeah, well, isn't tomorrow.
And what a great group of people we got together doing it.
I won't see you tomorrow night. I will see you Saturday night.
Okay, well, I'll see Jason tomorrow at the Power
Tower of Power is not going to be on the air, Bobby. We've got some technical difficulties, and I'm waiting for some parts to come in, and I'm going to be making a trip up to Ocala.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to the PAL?
Yeah, I'm going to the PAL. It is my...
Man. Well, you could tell tell us what it's all about, because those guys got it together. I wish I could go, but we're going to have open practice tomorrow night. So if you guys aren't racing at the PAL, come on down and enjoy Charlotte County. And we'll see you guys later. Congratulations on the new show. That's cool.
Thanks, Bobby. Real quick, before you go, one more time, tell us what's happening Saturday night at the track.
Well, we're going to have the Pro Fours, the Fab Fours. We're going to have the 50-lapper Super Stock, 50-lap Sportsman, fan participation. So bring out that grocery getter or go rent a car and do it upright. We've got the Thunder Trucks are going to be in heavy action and the Road Warriors. So it's going to be a night of, oh, by the way, also the Outlaw Modifies, the Dwarfs, and the Mid. We cover the whole spectrum this time.
We are going to
and
be...
Mariah Carey is going to sing the Star-Spangled Banner.
Stepping and fetching.
I thought you were.
Thank you very much, Bobby.
Thanks,
Gill.
Bobby.
We do appreciate it.
Congratulations. Great show.
Thank you,
sir. Night.
Night.
Bobby is so long-winded.
We don't have much money, but we sure have fun.
Wouldn't you know it?
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, you know... Just, Don was talking about it earlier. It used to be years ago, you'd have so many late models show up at a track. And then over the years, I mean, the track went through several different owners, promoters, then back to Leroy again. And the car counts fell off. And now, I mean, you know, when we did the Brian Davidson Memorial this year, that is the most late models I've seen show up at that track in almost 15 years. And it's coming back. It really is coming back.
It's coming back in a big way. It's the place is starting to look beautiful. The fans are coming in like cockroaches. Car counts are way up. I mean, everything is getting better.
I tell you what's
coming in like what?
I don't know. I was trying to think of something that swarms.
That's bees. Oh. Buzzards, maybe.
There's one in here I'd love to swat.
Something that's coming back in a big, big way. And it's just really been noticeable in just the past couple years is short track racing. Short track racing is starting to be what it was years ago. I mean, everybody likes following NASCAR and ARCA and Busch and all that stuff.
Well, for crying out loud, it should. Look at all the internet radio shows, all the television. I mean, we didn't have this stuff back then, and now the word gets out to everybody. If you don't hear it, you're sleeping.
Yeah, the information highway is the biggest thing about it, because years ago, these track owners and promoters, they were having to go out, and they were trying to hustle, trying to, you know, get sponsors, trying to promote what's going on, and they could only promote in that one area.
Correct.
You know, and now that they got the internet, they've got websites like Karnak.com and Real Racing USA, they've got all these outlets to get noticed, you know, Ocala, DeSoto, Orlando,
and they,
Auburndale,
they have allowed
Citrus.
Women to have a bigger voice in racing. If you say one smart word...
I thought we weren't allowed to use the B word.
Who's the mouth of the South?
Have we lost the professionalism level already?
Well, you know how she already, she told me earlier, she thought, no, you need to rephrase yourself. She used the B word again.
I didn't use a B.
You said bigger.
Oh.
Hey, you know,
are we speaking to next?
We're going to talk to somebody here in just a minute, but first I got to tell you something. This is something just happened to cross my mind. And I think I should mention it right now. It's pretty cool. See, that's an artist's rendering of the late Pete Orr.
Jack is pointing at a poster on the wall. He is radio.
That's very nice.
Yeah, and the reason that I happened to look at that and I thought of Bobby. We had Bobby Orr on one of our other shows, who's the son of Pete Orr. And Bobby wanted to, you know, he's been thinking about doing a racing school, which his dad was involved in when he passed away. And Bobby has booked his first deal on July 24th, 25th, and 26th at Lakeland USA International Speedway. And his website, there's a logo up there right now at www.bobbyorracing.com. But you can email Bobby and get information. He will send you all the information about his school. He's got Mike Garvey hooked up with him.
Wow.
Lee Falk. Some tremendous people hooked up with him. But But we're going to have him on the show pretty soon. But you know what? There's this guy, one of the people on the Florida Stock Car Racing message board that you all talk to periodically, String Bean. And he's on the phone with us. He was listening live, and he's now on the phone with us.
Ah, hey, cool. Beaner, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. As old man Pearl used to say, I'm just proud to be a part of it.
I didn't really mean that you were here with the dinosaurs.
How y'all? How's everybody doing tonight?
We're doing pretty good. This is a new animal for us right here. We're having a lot of fun doing it.
Well, this is a new animal for me, too, being the...
Be on here. You do talk
now,
funny.
Now, wait a minute. What part of Florida are you from?
Georgia.
I'm up in this old northern Florida. If I was to step out of my front porch and probably walk about a quarter of a mile, I'd be in another state.
You're right up there on the border then, aren't you?
Yes, I'm right up here in the old Georgia Bend, what they call it up here, but I'm in Florida. But I'm right down there where the Georgia Bend comes down into the state of Florida.
Now, you've probably gone to a lot of the races up and around in the Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama area, right?
Well, not very much in Alabama. I was able last year. I went to three new tracks last year. I went up to Charlotte, up to the Colossal 100, first time I'd ever been up there.
Mm-hmm.
I went up to Livonia. They had the O'Reilly's Superstars up there. I went up there. I was up on vacation up there last year. And for the first time in my life, I went to New Smyrna Speedway last year.
Oh, cool. Good deal.
That's a fun track.
How you like that Lanier Speedway up there in Georgia?
I like it. It sort of reminds me of Putnam County, but it seems like their banking is, they have a little bit more banking than what Putnam County does.
Yeah, that's about the only track I could probably compare that to in the state of Florida. Was Putnam.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, one of the big questions I was kind of getting to, what's up? I'll get back to that question. What's up, Carol? I saw you that you wanted to ask him something.
Oh no, you made me forget what I was going to ask him.
See how you are,
Ron? We're not very organized.
You're getting to be about my age. Yeah.
Radio doesn't have to.
Oh,
be
I know
organized.
What I wanted to ask you. Are you going to Ocala tomorrow night?
I am planning on going to Ocala. I've got a buddy of mine from work. He's going to meet me, and we're going to go down there. And we got another friend of ours that lives out here by me, and there's supposed to be about three of us going down there, and I'm taking my grandson, my four-year-old grandson, with me.
Well, you must look for us and come to meet us. We would love to meet you in person.
I haven't been to Ocala since probably back in the 70s, back when it was a dirt track.
Oh, you in for a surprise.
We went down there. A buddy of mine had a race car up here in McClinney. And we used to run down at Ocala. At the time, you had a pretty good where you wanted to race at, because see, at the time then, we would either run Ocala, we would run Palatka, Jacksonville, Wake Cross, Brunswick, Lake City. At the time, both of their tracks were dirt, which one of them is dirt now, and they have asphalt the other one. And we had a pretty good, it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon.
I love
we
that.
We were at one of the tracks. One of the tracks was running, and we would be, you know, back when in my younger days, when I could keep up with it. I can't keep up with it too much anymore.
See, I love that, and it's such a shame tracks have gotten away from that, where you could go race Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
I grew up in Southern Ohio, and we raced in West Virginia, two tracks down there, on Friday and Saturday, and then we went over to Indiana and raced another track on Sunday. You know, uh-huh. We had a ball. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, because, I didn't know you were that close to the Georgia border, and it just kind of popped in my head. One of the big things that I've noticed that there is, and maybe you've noticed it too, that there is a big attitude difference between drivers from Florida and their racetracks and the drivers up around Carolina and Georgia. I mean, is that me, or is that really happening?
I'm not touching it either.
This is something that's near and dear to my heart big time. And I just wanted somebody else's opinion on it. So, String Bean, take it away.
back in my teenage years, we went to a lot of races and all, and then as I got into a family and got children and all, I sort of got out of the racing a little bit. And now, here just probably in the last 4 or 5 years, I'm just getting back into the racing now. And I don't know. I think you've got to, it's about the same anywhere you go, tell you the truth, really, to me.
What I've noticed, and it's probably just me, I really try to look at people's attitudes and the way they conduct themselves, you know, driver-wise, because that, you know, a lot of these young kids growing up and in the racing industry, and it is an industry, that want to get up and race NASCAR, Busch, and stuff like that, and that's big hopes and dreams. But these kids have to be the full package. They have to be able to carry themselves well. They have to present themselves. They have to present the sponsors themselves. And everything they do, when it, you know, and a lot of it is attitude. And I've noticed that, you know, a lot of attitude you can get away with down here. You know, you can go to a track. I'm not going to say any particular track. You can go to a track in Florida, and the drivers will be very aggressive in and out of the car, and a very right up in your face type of characters. Now, I've gone to tracks up in North Carolina and South Carolina, and if you have a situation where these drivers are getting together, it seems like these track owners and these promoters are really nipping them in the bud up there, and they won't put up with it. And they will have the county sheriff or the state police right there on top of you at your car in the pits, and you telling you, pack your stuff up and get out of the track, and we'll tell you when you can come back. And I don't see a lot of that happening.
You know what? What I'm seeing, you know, y'all was talking a little bit about NASCAR a while ago, but you know something? Since Dale Earnhardt's death, you don't have the rivalries like you did. I mean, it seemed like Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Bodine, or Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon, or Dale Earnhardt and Bill Elliott would get in something, you know, and then it seemed like then the next week, I mean, the ticket sales would really be increasing. And it seems like everything that I'm seeing on NASCAR anymore, it seems like every time they have a race, it seems like that they're down from their previous year. And you just don't have the rivalries. I mean, you had this with Tony Stewart and Kurt Busch the other day, and I don't know if there's been any penalties handed out on that, but I heard something about that they was going to suspend Kurt Busch this week. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe people want to go see something like that. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you that way. And that's I never really looked at it that way. I'm glad you said something about it. But, yeah, I'm going to have to get on the computer here and look into the Kurt Busch thing. But, yeah, they need to upplay that. What was it back in the 80s? I think it was when you spoke of Earnhardt and Bodine, and then also you had he had a deal with Bill Elliott going on for a little while, especially in the All-Star race. Well, I think it was ABC. I think right before they showed the race, they did a skit with Dale Earnhardt and Bill Elliott in the middle of the desert somewhere, dressed up like cowboys with the long black trench coats and the six shooters on their side and everything, you know, playing the hold the good, the bad, and ugly stuff. I mean, you're right. They don't play it up anymore.
And from what I'm not on the Karnak message board, but I've been on a different message board daily looking.
Shame on you.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
I'm sorry, but I mean, I just went on there. But I mean, there was people on there just talking about this prelude last night up at Eldora. I mean, they were just on this thing. There was people on there that was avid anti-Jeff Gordon fans saying how what a great show he put on for them up there last night. And, I mean, you know, I think NASCAR should get back into something like that. I mean, I don't know if they'll ever go back to dirt track or anything like that. But, I mean, you know, maybe there should be something that, you know, get back in something else once in a while. You know what I mean? I mean, it seems like it's like, as Jeff Burton calls it, the cookie-cutter tracks. I mean, it seems like every track that they build anymore looks just like Charlotte Motor Speedway, you know? And I mean, look at the people that sell out at Bristol. I mean, they put 200,000 people up there, and they could probably sell 200,000 more tickets. I mean, you would think that they would go back to something like that. You know, some tracks like that, other than road courses and and tracks that just don't, you know, that's just there's nothing to them, you know.
You know what it is? You know what I think it is? I think they're trying to sell wine because they already selling enough beer.
Well, you may be true about that. But, I mean, you know, y'all were talking about the track, what can track promoters and all do anymore. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, back whenever I was coming up, we probably had 8 or 9 tracks, you know, right around here. With me being up here on this border, there's nothing in Jacksonville anymore. Lake City, North Florida has just opened back up. I mean, they're just getting their program started. They just got going, you know, last year, and things are still, they still haven't got everything worked out up there. You know, Columbia County asphalted their track. Look down at St. Augustine. I went down there the first night they ever opened up that track down at St. Augustine. It was a dirt track. Scott Bloomquist won the race down there, and you couldn't even see over to the back straightaway. It was so dusty down there. And then they come in there and asphalt the track, had a beautiful facility down there, and then that's when St. Johns County comes in there and shuts them down. I mean, there's a group of investors here in Jacksonville.
You know, String Bean, I tell you what, man, because I'm writing a note right now just about that. But that's something I want to get into hopefully next week, and that's going to be about tracks getting shut down and, you know, what we got to do to keep our tracks open.
Ron, we'd love to have you back again, and thank you so much for being on. We got to take a break now or we're going to be in trouble.
Y'all can call me anytime.
Listen in, because we've got James Powell coming on. You'll want to hear him.
Well, good. Well, let's talk to him.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Tell him I'm going to try to find him tomorrow night and see if we can't do something to help him. Go ahead and get that baby.
Good for you.
Good
All
deal.
Right.
Thank you very much, Ron. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks to y'all.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you tomorrow night, buddy.
Right back with James Powell.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarKnight gets it done.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stuff. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Get over here, Abbott. No way.
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper. That's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Stub Master, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
That guy right there is a champion. He's been a champion all his life, but he's been in a race car. That right there is an exercise on how you race people. The 19 car, I don't know what to say on that deal. I'm up to the door, going in a corner. You know, we're counting cautions. It's a 100-lap race. You know, up to the door, I don't know how far you got to be, but, you know, that's just racing accident. And the bullet, just purposely go underneath a caution like that, that's absolutely ridiculous. And,
That was too
too funny. Where'd you pull that one out of, Jack?
Inside Florida Racing.
I recognize that voice.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. We're going to move right. Yeah, you're doing fine. We're going to move right along here. We got once a year we have a very, very special race, the Powell Memorial. This is the 12th one coming up tomorrow night at Ocala Speedway. And the man and the reason for the race and the whole deal is on the line with us. Welcome, Mr. James Powell.
How you guys doing tonight?
Hey, James.
James, if we were doing any better, we'd have to sell tickets.
I'm just as fine as a fat man could be.
There you go.
How's that car up there running?
Actually, it feels pretty daggum good. We're pretty pleased with it right now. I'm just kind of waiting for the sun to go down a little more and go back out and see what we got.
This is going to be such an exciting weekend for you.
It really is. Yeah, in two ways. My wife, she was due on Monday, but they're going to induce labor on Sunday, and we hope to win this Powell Memorial and just make it a real big weekend.
How many laps is the Memorial race?
150.
I was trying to get the computer to queue back up, but my modem's down. But and this is the 12th race, right, James?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, too cool. Now, see, I've never been to Ocala. Honestly, I haven't. This is going to be my first time on Friday. So
good.
I'm pretty...
We look forward to having you.
Now, how big...
Tell them about turn four.
Well, we call it the road course of Ocala. It's kind of got like a dog leg in between, you know, one and two.
What?
And then a very sharp corner down in three and four. So it's definitely different, but it's a challenge, and, you know, a lot of people like the challenge.
How big is Ocala? Is it
it's a big 3/8.
3/8. Wow. I thought it was I don't know why. I thought it was a half a mile.
Oh, yeah. When you first go there tomorrow, Jason,
yeah,
the first part of the race, at least some part of that race, you got to go down and sit in turn four.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, you got to.
I'll be making my rounds. I got to go meet everybody.
So
I promise you've never seen a place like it, I'll assure you. It did used to be half mile way on the track, and it was dirt. But they brought the track way in over on turn two, so now it's a big 3/8.
James, there's a lot of, you know, every year there's new race fans that come to Florida Racing, get involved, and there's new people that find out about Ocala Speedway and new people that find out about the Powell Memorial. So tell us a little bit about, like, I mean, your family owned the track, and you were involved in it in its early days, and tell us a little bit about the history of Ocala.
Yeah, we owned the racetrack for 11 years back in the mid-80s to the mid-90s, and it was dirt back when we had it, and I actually promoted the racetrack for about 5 years myself, and that was quite an adventure, and then we sold the racetrack, and then unfortunately an accident happened with my family, and we had good friends that had bought the track, and they started the memorial, and luckily we've been able to keep the, you know, the owners that's come along, they've been wanting to keep the race, so we've kept it going.
If they don't, we will.
What's that?
I said, if they don't keep it going, we will.
So, exactly. We'll do it somewhere.
That's right.
Clearly.
Yeah, so this year looks to be one of the bigger races in this deal in a few years, huh?
They got 27 cars already.
There's 24 cars here now practicing.
Ah.
So, you know, that's, and I know, I can count off four right now that I know for a fact are coming. So it looks like we're going to get close to 30 cars.
All right. Who are some of the names that you know already that are going to be showing up for it?
Well, some previous winners, Patrick Williams, Mike Franklin's here, Wayne Anderson's here, Shane Sieg's here, Fane Skinner, Rich Pratt, a couple of people I haven't ever seen before, Kevin Durden, and then some others, like I said, that I haven't seen.
Yeah, I think Ryan Sieg from Georgia's down. He said he was coming down. I'm not sure if he's there now or not.
Who's that?
Number 39, Ryan Sieg. He raced in the race up there at Lakeland. He was working with Wayne Anderson.
Well, now, there is a car here with Wayne. It's not 39. And I don't remember what the number is. I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah.
Wonder if Steve Arnold's going to be there.
What's that?
Well, is your buddy Mike Franklin going to be there?
He's here.
All right.
He's here now. As a matter of fact, he just pulled off the track.
Oh, I'll be darned. Well, we'll find out on Friday if his buddy's there, too.
I hate to keep asking you, but the car goes by, and I can't hardly hear.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, just so everybody knows.
Hey, at least we're giving you trackside reporting.
That's right. James is up there. Who are some of the hot shoes up there this weekend? Who's fast?
Well, naturally, you know Wayne's always going to be fast. Timmy Russell, Patrick Williams is driving one of Timmy's other cars. You know, and you got some local people. Scott Grossenberger usually runs pretty good. So, and hopefully we're one of them, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, you're running too. I didn't know that. See, this is kind of the new thing. Well, this is the inaugural show for Inside Florida Racing, and I guess Jack has made me the host.
He's a made man.
Oh, man. You can't shut him up anyway, so.
No, it's hard to.
We're going to make this a fun show with a lot of fan participation and drivers and stick with Florida Racing.
Well, good deal.
James, good deal. Not to get off the subject of the Memorial Race or anything, but racing in general in Florida, the state of racing, do you think it's gotten better over the years? Do you like the direction that it's going in?
I'll be honest with you right now. You know, it just seems like that, you know, we're kind of in a downward trend right now. You know, especially with the super late models. I mean, we're just not being able to get full fields. And I think you can just attribute it to so many things, you know, gas prices, economy, everything in general. And, you know, there's a lot of cars that people are just kind of sitting on the sidelines and not running.
Yeah, you know the cost has just
gotten so out of hand that, you know, the average person just can't do it anymore.
You know, that's obviously the fans, all they have to do is look at the race results and things like that. Whether they go to the race or not, they can tell what's going on. And you're right about the car counts and stuff. But you know one thing, James, that is a consistent. We always ask, we talk to people, especially guys that come race in Florida once in a while, like Clay Rogers from up in North Carolina and guys like that, you know. And one thing that we always hear is this is one of the best, toughest places to come race.
Right. You mean in the state of Florida?
In the state of Florida. The Florida super late models.
You look at the talent, you know, in Florida at a super late model race, and I mean, I think you can stack the talent up here against anybody. You know, there's a lot of competition down here and a lot of good racetracks.
Do you think the racers from Florida are a lot more aggressive than the ones out of state?
I'm sorry, I could not hear you there.
Do you think that the racers in Florida are a lot more aggressive than the ones from other states?
I don't know about aggressive. I think you've just got, you know, you've got a handful of guys that are, you know, very hard-nosed, and, you know, they race hard. And I guess if you can call that aggressive, then I guess it is.
Yeah, well, we'll see another.
I don't think it's all bad. I think a lot of it is passion. They are just so passionate, they can't face the thought of losing.
Absolutely.
You know, I really think one of the things, I don't know, it's just, you know, kind of at a local level type of style racing that I just keep comparing it to up north, because I've been back and forth between the racing up north and down here, and it seems like people are afraid to get in trouble at tracks up north, and it seems like they're more lax about it down here in Florida.
Well, you know, down here, I think, too, fan-wise and stuff, you've got so much competition here in Florida. You know, we have beautiful weather. You've got parks. You've got all springs, water, lakes. And, you know, up north, I mean, they get to race with the weather about 5 weekends or 5 months out of the year, and those 5 months.
It's kind of funny. He just said it. Lakes, springs, water. You think it's in the water?
I mean, there's just so much competition for the entertainment down here.
Yeah, it's all year round racing down here. I mean,
hey,
you know.
Hey, James, that guy up there, BJ Cavan, the announcer up there, is he hanging around in that tower? Are you up in the tower, by the way?
No, I'm actually just walking back down here to the race car right now.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we're gonna talk to BJ. He's the announcer up there and does the media, and we're gonna let you go, man. And I tell you what, we wish you the best of luck tomorrow. And not just for yourself racing, but for a great event. And we will all of us will see you there.
Better believe it.
I appreciate everything y'all do and stuff, and look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. And like you said, as long as it's a good turnout and everybody has a good time, that's all that matters.
All right, man. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us here tonight.
Thanks, James. See you tomorrow.
James, good luck with the baby, sir. Tried to get it in there. No, we're not off. There's
you are never off.
We are.
You're off. You're off even when you're on.
We're way off. Well, that's pretty cool. This is neat. I mean, you know, I'm kind of like a kid in a candy shop.
Wait a minute. Now, what did? Wait a minute. What did she just say?
Who?
That we're off.
Something very odd is going on around here.
Here.
Was that Jack Bauer from 24? This is Jack Bauer. Everybody down. Get me a pizza. But this is, I'm like a kid in a candy store right now because I'm getting the chance to go out and meet a lot of these drivers that I've read about on the internet, you know, and I've watched them in their points. I like watching the other tracks, watching their message boards and their points and see how people's are doing. And this is kind of a new thing to me because, you know, I could sit and talk NASCAR and Busch and ARCA and Hooters and everything all day long. And I'm real excited about getting into this Florida racing
thing.
I
guarantee you are going to have the time of your life tomorrow night. Trust me.
I better, because I'm bringing my wife with me.
I can drive faster than she can.
I better have a good time, because it's going to be a long ride back to Fort Myers.
Yes, it is. It'd be well worth it.
But once again, I'm racing Jason Beckner. Everybody knows me down here in the South. I've been around here racing either on the track or in the stands or being somewhat of a part of it for the past 20 years.
And I'm Carol Wicks, also known as Ms. Wicks, and a bunch of other stuff.
I'll get you my pretty and your little dog, too.
Hey, Carol, I want to thank you for posting bail this afternoon.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Your wife made me do it.
Say, hey, guys, we have, you know, Jason, you know, he earns his paycheck down there on Saturday night because he has the gift of gab. And guys like them, you know, him and Rick Angies and some of these other guys, they do this every Saturday night. They get up there. Dave Westerman, he's another great. They get up there and they just have this gift of gab. There's a new member of the club. Ooh. BJ Cavan from Ocala Speedway.
Hey, BJ, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing?
And he's not amused.
Oh, he's not amused. Neither am I.
I am.
It's because you drink more than we did.
Well, I have to confess, I'm actually very amused tonight. I'm up here in the tower at Ocala Speedway watching late model practice.
Yeah, we just talked to James Powell a few minutes. We just got off the phone with James Powell, who's up there. And go ahead and tell us what's going on.
Well, I tell you right now that we have already, unfortunately, lost at least one race car.
Who?
Cody Pitts was here in his number 11 machine.
Oh, man.
And he had a little incident out here earlier this afternoon in practice. Ran into the wall, bent the front end pretty badly, and they have loaded it up and taken it to the house for repairs. They didn't think there was anything there to take it correct before tomorrow night, so they took it on home.
Did you say Cody Pitts?
Just a few minutes ago, Kurt Jett backed it into the turn two wall here at Ocala Speedway, bit the back end very badly. I have yet to go back to the pit to see how bad the damage really is. But last night in practice, it was Kurt Jett that had the fastest time on the Speedway with a 14:27.
Guess who's following you?
Kurt really? Jett?
Kurt Jett.
Well, you can ask him. Man, I tell you, it was unfortunate to watch it spin out back there. And the back end of that car was very, very bent. And I'm sure that they're having a time back there at his hauler right now trying to figure out how to fix it.
BJ, you broke up there a little bit. Who was it that backed it into the wall?
I'm sorry. A little bit noisy up here on my end.
Yeah. Could you guys tell him to quiet them race cars down a little bit there? Yeah.
Turn the caution light on for a minute.
Oh, man, I tell you, actually, it was very quiet right up until the time that we got on the phone here, and then everybody decided it was time to come out and go practice some more.
Well, we hear you fine, man. That's fine. We'll bear with it because it's great to be able to talk to you while, you know, it's actually happening there. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. But I didn't hear who you said backed into the wall.
Yeah, but just to let you know, right now I'm counting 19 cars in the pit. We have a few more that are not supposed to be here until tomorrow. Right now, if everybody is here that is supposed to be here, it looks like 28 cars to the Powell Memorial.
Wow. And how many are you starting?
Last I talked to our owner, Mike Peters, he wanted to start no more than 28 cars. So if need be, if we get too many here, we will have a couple of Conti races and kind of break it down that way.
Well, let's see. We got James Powell, Rich Pratt, Wayne Anderson, Ryan Sieg, Brian Finney, Scott Millar, Kurt Jett, maybe, Blake Lear, Steve Doerr, Mike Franklin Jr., Tim Russell, Kevin Durden, Patrick Williams, Fane Skinner, Jeremy Gerstner, Troy Robinson, Kyle Maynard, Frank Buchanan, Robbie Smith, Keith Zarvel, is that how you say it?
Zarvel.
Scott Grossenbacher, Daniel Webster, Cody Pitts, oh, Cody's gone, Don Hale, and Jim Smith. Yeah, there's going to be a few that aren't on that list, I think. I think there's a few more.
A couple more here. I hope I'm not going to rename some of them here, but Scotty Crockett is here and has been practicing this evening. Robbie Smith has been out on the track. Who else? I don't know if you mentioned Kevin Durden, but Kevin Durden's here.
And Kevin knows his way around that track, don't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does. Mike Franklin is here. Trying to think if there's anybody else we might have missed.
I think I'm going to go hang out with Mike.
that's really true. You know, I hadn't thought of that because we don't hear Kevin. Kevin doesn't go racing maybe a lot of the high profile races around Florida. But I'll tell you what, anytime he's in I don't care what kind of race car it is, if Kevin Durden is in the field, he is a contender.
Yes, he is.
It's
very fast out here in practice. I don't have any exact times on him, but he has been lightning quick. So he's going to be one of those that you're going to have to watch out for in the race tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you got to watch out for Mike Franklin because he's got a big head from winning all that money down at Charlotte County Speedway. So, you know, Hollywood's going to be ready.
Yeah. I tell you another one that is definitely ready for this race, that is Wayne Anderson. He is really fired up about this thing. And I just overheard a conversation he was having a little while ago out underneath the tech shed. And I tell you what, that's a man who is really excited, and he intends to win this thing. Hands down, he wants to win.
By the way, when we're done, we've been trying to call him and talk to him because we had arranged earlier in the week, and I'm sure we're the furthest thing from his mind at the moment because I was trying to get in touch with him by his cell phone. Could you track him down for us, and so when we call him, he can answer?
Sure, I could try that.
Yeah, we'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, I would, because I got a question for him whenever he was down here racing.
He was out on the track not 10 minutes ago, so I'm sure he's still around, and I'll track him down for you. I'll be glad to do that.
Is Dickie there?
I have not seen him yet.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. He might be there.
Hopefully he'll be there tomorrow night.
He'll be there.
I'm hoping Leroy Porter might show up.
Last time I saw Wayne race was here at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, and he led it right off the bat for the longest time, was out front, and then the car just shut off. He just shut it off and parked it. I think it wasn't even halfway through the race yet, and he was way out front, had a good lead, and he just shut it down. I really wanted to find out what happened that night, but always good to see him. Grew up watching his dad race, too, so.
BJ, one thing I wanted to ask you, if you got just a couple more minutes, is tell us, are you having a great time? I mean, this is your first year up there at Ocala Speedway doing the announcing, and you do, you know, you handle the media for the track and like that, and you're doing a really good job, man. The race reports and stuff are very thorough and timely, and it's really cool. How did you come about to do this, and tell us about your deal there doing that?
Well, actually, I got started in radio years and years and years ago, right out of high school. I was doing radio almost full time while I was a senior in high school. And I did radio actually for about 12 years, realized that I wasn't making any money, couldn't support a family, and so I walked away from it. And I have done other types of announcing through the years, just part time, you know, playing around, high school football games, stuff like that. And when I moved to Florida about 5 years ago, my wife dragged me out to Ocala Speedway. I fell in love with the place. Found out they had this really cool announcer named Wolf Bowers. And, you know, I kind of fell under Wolf's spell, I guess you'd say. He had a particular style that he used at the track.
Yes, he does.
I kind of fell in love with his style, started listening to him, and started doing the post-race interviews for him, going down with a remote mic onto the track, and did that for a good portion of last season and this season. And then, of course, Wolf had his hours at WTRS changed. So now that he is on the air from 7 until midnight on weekdays, of course, he can't be here on Friday night. So the regular announcing job just kind of fell in my lap. And I'm really honored to have been asked to do it, and I'm having a lot of fun. I'm adapting and learning and growing as I go, and hopefully I can be every bit as good as Wolf was, you know, within a short period of time. I'm going to keep working at it. I'm having so much fun that I'm definitely not going to give it up.
All right.
Man, that sounds so familiar. And I'm probably, yeah, there's no money in radio.
Wait. You mean I'm here for nothing?
There ain't no money in this. You're doing this for free, baby.
You know, you know.
Doing it for the fun of it, just like I am.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, BJ, you know, when we were talking yesterday, you told me a little funny story about, because we've been talking a lot on one of the other shows we do, Real Racing USA. We've been talking about writers and motorsports writing and stuff. We did one whole show almost dedicated to it, but we were talking about how difficult that is. Like guys like Dave Westerman and some of the other guys around the state, they can rattle these race reports off right after the race is over like it was nobody's business. And you have a secret weapon in your writing arsenal. Let's tell us a little bit about that.
Well, actually, what I used to do is I have a little digital recorder and tried using that, just recording my announcing, you know, in the tower. And to be honest with you, between the race cars and everything else that goes on in the tower during a race, I couldn't understand a word I was saying. So my wife volunteered to take notes on the race for me. So she sits out in the grandstand and takes notes every night. And what I do is I take those notes the next morning and sit down and write my articles from her notes. So it works out really well.
See, I couldn't do that. My wife is too busy with the little ones. she'd kill me. You want me to do what else?
Well, she gladly volunteered, and I love her to death because she has a blast doing it. The only problem she has is all her friends want to come up and socialize, and she's taking notes, so she has to shoo them away.
Oh, but at least she enjoys it, and you know she volunteered to do it. So,
yeah. Yes, yeah, she has a ball here. We're in the grandstands at Ocala Speedway, whether I'm working here or not. We can't miss racing for anything. We're a racing family.
How long have you been announcing there at the track, BJ?
Excuse me?
How long have you been announcing there at the track?
I have been actually started doing the driver interviews here about the middle of last season, so it's been about a year now, roughly.
I think. Hello? Hello?
Hello, you still there?
Yeah, I heard the race car go by and then you cut out. But yeah, that's about how long I've been into it. I was in radio for about 8 years and finally had to walk away from it because it wasn't fun anymore, wasn't making money at it, and too many bosses and everything in there, and the opportunity arose at the Charlotte County Motorsports Park, and went to work there and been doing it for about a year now. So
yeah.
Then we drug him into Real Racing USA. So what the heck?
And now he's drug into living in Florida racing.
Yeah.
BJ, could we talk you into going to get Wayne for us, and we'll be back in a short.
We'll call him. We're gonna call him in about 10-15 minutes if he's available. If he's not, I mean, you know, he's got more important things to do. That's fine.
Well, that will probably work. It's probably going to take me about 10 minutes to run all the way down there to where his hauler is parked anyway. So give me about 10 or 15 minutes, and I'll see if I can stir him up for you.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for being on the show. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
I really do, and I am really stoked about this race. It is going to be a good one.
Me too.
Cool. I can't wait to get up there tomorrow night and listen to you do your craft, BJ. BJ Calvin, the voice of Ocala Speedway.
Yeah, you met your match, buddy.
We're not going to break yet. You know?
No, we're not going to break. Oh, Carol was ready. Did you see that? She whipped them headphones right off.
She was running.
Yeah. That was just the train wreck sound effect. That's too cool. You know, and I guess I should have asked him how old he was.
I thought it was Mike Franklin qualifying.
Oh, my gosh. See, if you weren't here earlier and didn't hear the break earlier, we had a clip from Mike Franklin from Charlotte County Motorsports Park from a few races ago, and him and the number 19 of Steve Arnold had gotten into it. I had to ask BJ if the 19 was up there. I don't think he heard me.
I'll tell you what, we've got some good racers going to be there tomorrow night. Mm-mm.
I tell you what, and it's funny, it's some of those names, a couple of the names I haven't heard of in years.
I haven't heard of, and I go to every race.
There was a bunch of races that I hadn't, there was a bunch of racers there that I hadn't heard of. So it's going to be interesting.
You know, one of the features that we're going to have every Thursday night is basically a rundown of all the racing that's coming up this weekend, the weekend coming. Now, we're a little ragged on the edges here tonight, but why don't we do that now, because we got about 3 or 4 minutes before our next break.
Yeah, we can do that, and then I'll go over here to Carol's computer.
We know that tomorrow at Ocala Speedway,
150 laps.
Is that what it is, 150 laps?
Yeah, I wrote it down right over here.
Oh, cool, 150 laps. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it is 150 laps from what James was telling me earlier. I'm trying to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 150 laps. I don't know. I might be wrong.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Oh, it's 100. Well, we put
125.
Well, that doesn't mean it's true. Just because there's an ad on CarNac that says that doesn't mean it's true.
You can't believe everything you read.
Not on CarNac, that's for sure. And not on the bathroom wall. That's for doubly sure.
You got to be kidding. I thought this was the Bible of racing.
Oh, jeez. I'm trying to look over Carol's shoulder here. What's going on at Auburndale?
Stop biting my ear and I'll let
this
you.
Is the big grand opening weekend at Auburndale Speedway, man.
Really? Now, who's...
They got beer in the freezer up there, a refrigerator, holding it for me.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Man. I have to swing by there on the way back.
You know,
They got late models, 2,500 to win for their grand opening. Looks like they're going to have their regular classes.
And they're all going to qualify in the afternoon.
Really?
Or I forget how they're going to do it.
Well, it says,
but they're all qualifying. They're qualifying everybody.
Let's see. It says all divisions, including the late models.
Yeah.
And they got up on the website. It says the 8th and the 9th. So they must be going
to
be doing.
Yeah. No. Tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow they're doing a big deal with. As a matter of fact, we were trying to get a hold of Ronnie Sims, but there is. If you go to the front page of CarNac.com, and if you look at the. Right there, there's a little flash player. Mm-hmm. You can click on it, and you can listen to a 30-minute deal that we did last week on Real Racing USA. That's all Auburndale, everything you want to know about this upcoming event on the 8th and 9th.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Coming up, Orlando Speed World. They're going to have the Crash-O-Rama, 5,000 to win Enduro. Going to be the Redneck Rodeo. Citrus County Speedway, Open Wheel Modified, Sportsman Mini Stocks, Pure Stocks, V8s, Thunder Stocks, Figure 8s. 7 divisions of racing going to be going on this weekend at Citrus County. Also, the Triple Crown Classic, it's going to be at the Hendry County Speedway. You want to tune in for that. That's going to be a good one. New Smyrna, June 9th, open wheel modified. It's a 50-lap race. Also, Charlotte County Motorsports Park, they're going to have a big night of racing down there. And 9 divisions of racing, Outlaw Modified, Sportsman 50, Super Stop 50. Going to have fan participation races. I know the fans love that. I enjoy those fan participation races.
They can get crazy, can't they?
I tell you what, Rocco Ronaldo up at DeSoto Speedway 1 year had a Ford Mustang out there, and he nosed it into the turn 4 wall. That was at DeSoto. And then years ago at the Charlotte County Speedway, Gary Preston's son was out there in a 1970s Porsche and racing against a Nova, and they stacked both of them up on the inside wall, but there's no more inside wall at that track. And then coming up at East Bay, going to be the 360 sprints, limited sprints, street stock bombers, outlaw fours, and let's see.
And speaking of East Bay, yes. Next week we're planning on a dirt track show, and we got some interesting stuff coming up for all you dirt track people.
Field trip.
Didn't you get some info? We're gonna have some drivers and stuff like that.
Todd Hutto is a dear friend. He is gonna help us out, getting us some interesting speakers from the stands and the pits.
Fans and drivers.
I want to talk to Danny Snow.
Oh my God, you're gonna get fans from the stands at East Bay Raceway Park.
You know what? Out of every racetrack I've been in the state of Florida, and there's been a bunch of them, I think East Bay has the friendliest people. Anywhere.
Do they have good hot dogs?
They've got a cafeteria. They've got everything you can Even strawberry shortcake with whipped cream on top.
That's too much. But that's going to be another show. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. Going to take a break. Got to get the sponsors out of the way. This is Inside Florida Racing.
If we do good this year, then maybe something will happen, and maybe we can get a late model or something. All the sponsorships. You got to have sponsors do this kind of thing because it costs a lot of money. So as long as the money's coming in, we can move up, so we'll see what happens.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
To raise your land and business to new heights, then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stuff. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stuff?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I was digging that. You had to shut it off. We are back inside Florida Racing. I am Racing Jason Beckner, and to my left,
Carol Wicks. Live.
Live. Well,
live. It's hard to do this when you're not, right?
I tell you what, live radio is so much fun. It is very spontaneous. And you came into, we were talking about this before the show even started, that you were so nervous. There's nothing to be nervous about. It's not like you're in front of a camera or you're in front of a live studio audience.
No. Okay, let's get off the Carol Wick subject and move on to the racetracks in Florida.
Okay.
All right, guys. She doesn't interrupt this right now because we have Wayne Anderson on the line. Wayne wants to talk to us for a few minutes because he's only got 30 minutes
okay,
of practice
shut up.
Left.
Hey, Wayne, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're good. Doing... Can't wait to see you tomorrow.
How's the big red machine doing?
I tell you what, we're running real good. I just went out. I think I'm like, second or third fastest right now, but we haven't put tires on yet. I think the fastest car right now is Patrick Williams and Tim Russell's backup car.
We were talking to BJ Calvin earlier. I guess he overheard a conversation you were having earlier, and he said you seemed really, really passionate, a lot more than usual, with wanting to win this thing. Hello.
Come back with that.
Well, we talked to BJ Calvin earlier, and he overheard you talking that you seemed a lot more passionate than usual about winning this race tomorrow night.
I think we all miss what this is really about. I mean, we race every weekend, and, you know, sometimes there might be an advanced auto part 125, but this is about James Fowler and his family. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I have a wonderful wife and two kids, and, you know, he lost his family, and there's nothing that I feel like we need to be here to honor that. Racing, and I think Carol Wicks and the rest of us all know, racing's like...
Oh, we lost you, hon.
You there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Okay. But, I mean, we're like a small family, you know. I mean, I think we all are, all us racers are, and this is what it's about. I've tried to make every one that I could possibly make, and, you know, so I'm here more for that than I am just here to race.
That's why we're going up there tomorrow.
Amen, brother.
That's cool, man. We talked to your teammate there, the guy you've been working with, Ryan Sieg, the other night on one of our other shows, and, boy, I think you got a live one there, man.
I tell you what, he's doing a great job, ain't he?
Yeah, he is, and he said you were a tough taskmaster, but he loved it.
Yeah, I'm pretty hard on him, but you know, I think that's just because I came from the school of hard knocks, and you know, nothing came easy. And you know, Ryan's fortunate enough that his dad has some great race cars, and so I think he needs to respect that and respect us racers that have been racing for 20 years.
All right, man.
Is your dad going to be there tomorrow night?
I'm sure he is.
I hope so.
Too much this week, but. You know,
speaking about the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? But no, I hope there's a lot of fans out there listening to your show tonight that really come out here and support Ocala Speedway. No matter what, they stepped up to the plate here. I mean, they've been calling over the loudspeaker for food. They've had free food up there, and I think they're really wanting to do this upright. And I see a lot more race cars than I did last year. And I just hope that the fans come out to support that. And I hope they know what it's about. You know, it's about James losing his family, and I don't think none of us want to ever have that happen to us. So.
No, you know, Wayne, this is, I'll tell you, I've said this many times, I cannot even imagine. That man has more courage, more guts than most anybody I've met in my life to be able to stand up every year and actually face, because he faces this every year, you know, and it's just like awesome and beyond awesome. I can't even.
I think the people who have been racing for a lot of years know that me and James, man, we've butted heads a lot on the racetrack, but, you know, you take all that stuff off the racetrack and, you know, there's behind all these helmets and fire suits and everything, we're all people.
All human beings.
It took me a long time to understand that, and believe me, I'm one of them guys that wants to fight and get in all the trouble, and hey, I've done everything, and I feel like I've won everything, and so I can tell you from experience the good and the bad. So I just think we're all human, and I just hope that they understand what this race is about and come out and support it.
All right.
One thing that's good is James has got some happiness coming into his life any day now, and that's making me happy.
Well, I think it's going to make a lot of people happy. I just hope that it's, you know, it comes out as a nice, healthy baby, and they can go on from here. But no, I hope y'all's radio show is doing well. I mean, I want to talk about the foul, but I also want to thank my car owner, Larry Calabrese, for last week putting such a great race car under me. We had a really good race car last week at Lakeland, and hopefully we can, keep the momentum going through here.
Wayne, I think you had about I think it was almost 5 seconds, 4 or 5 seconds anyway, you had at the end of that race, man. You just came up at the end of the race. You were just like out there in your own universe, man. It was pretty cool.
Well, you know, I feel like I've lost quite a few races here in the past 6 months that I should have won. And, you know, it's always a roller coaster. The highs are high and the lows are low. And I just kind of, I've been running through them both. And I should have won op. They had a big race at op here about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and a broken axle leading that thing with 9 to go. So
yeah,
it felt like we've been, you know, my team, my car owner, my engine builder, all of us have been well overdue, and it was just glad to do it at Lakeland. It's just a shame there wasn't more people there, because, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Jack, I think you and a bunch of others, I thought we were going to run that race Sunday. I would have never thought they'd have got that in Saturday night, and kudos to Lakeland for just going on with it.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd get it in either, man, and you're right. The crowd wasn't up to what we expected, but I have a feeling that the second leg of the Triple Crown at Lakeland, I think we'll see a different story.
I hope so. And, you know, like I say, we got to support our racetracks, and we got to support our racers, too. They're like family, and I just hope that a lot of people show up tomorrow night to support it. It's a yearly thing, and
I'm just, you know, I'm happy to be a part of it.
Wayne, real quick, this is Jason. I'm the announcer down here at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. Grew up watching your dad race, enjoyed watching him race over the years, and enjoyed watching you race. And I just really got to say thank you to your family and you coming back down and racing at the new Charlotte County Motorsports Park. I was really excited to see you there. I was up there on Friday night, had the clock on you quite a bit in practice. And you were really doing a good job on Saturday night in the race, and then the car just kind of just went away from you. You had to park it.
Yeah, we ended up blowing a motor. We were running our own water for the first 20 laps, didn't realize it. The water pump had about come off the car. But no, I tell you what, you know, we talk about a lot of different things, and we pick a lot of people apart. We pick a lot of race promoters and tracks. And we never tell them about the good. But I tell you what, Bobby Deal, my hat's off to him. Guy's done a terrific job down there, and I think he's brought a spark back to Charlotte County Speedway. And I know everybody there is wanting to make a go of it. And I'm glad I was able to come down there and support it.
Cool, man. That's awesome. Once again, thank you for coming back to the track. I can't wait to see you there again. And I'm actually going to get up to the track there tomorrow night with Jack and Carol, and I hope to see you out there. And have a good time tomorrow night. Stay safe and have fun.
Wayne, you have 25 minutes left to practice, brother.
Hey, yeah, I better go get after it. I don't want to leave here being not the fastest car, so we gotta dig hard. And we're going to have a little barbecue after the race tomorrow night, so all you guys come down there and see us.
See ya.
Thank you, Wayne. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good luck with y'all's show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Wayne Anderson. Too cool, man. I tell you what. I mean, well, he's about mid-30s, something like that.
He's going to love you, honey.
Yeah, why?
Hey, guys.
How old is Wayne?
Let me throw this in here.
Okay.
All of us learn different lessons at different times in our life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is going to be a tearjerker.
In the last few years, let me tell you. I mean, I don't think there's nobody in the media, I don't think, that watches Wayne more than me. And I'm going to tell you. He's learned a lot of really good lessons in the last 5 years, no doubt about it.
Wayne is one of the most exciting racers I've ever seen. And now his boy's following close behind. That ought to be interesting.
He gets it from his daddy.
Uh-huh.
I would, oh, man. So many times I watched his dad run around DeSoto and in the heyday when Charlotte County first opened up, watching him come down there and wheel that black car around there for a while. I tell you what, it was something else, because it was like if the Anderson showed up at the track, it was like we'd stand down there in the pits and we'd be like, listen to that car. Listen to it. You know? Doing the whole racer thing. Listen to it. He's fast. And he's just running around under hot laps.
I know.
Oh, that's too cool, man.
I think Gwen is going to be another legend.
I think so. I was really, you know, when he was running the Porter Cable Craftsman truck there for a while, I really wanted him to do so much better in that.
You know, another guy up at another race car. I have to put all my headgear on here, but there was another race car driver up at Lakeland that I finally got a chance to see. I'd been reading about him, and he finished 10th. In that 200-lap race at Lakeland with a tough field of 28 cars, and that's an accomplishment itself, because a 200-lap race at Lakeland is an endurance in itself. And we have Kurt Jett on the line with us. Kurt, live from Ocala Speedway. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How you doing?
All right. They said you had some things going on with your car. How are things going up there for you?
We were about 3/10 faster than everybody and backed it into the wall.
Oh. Yeah.
Ugh. So is something you're going to be able to fix?
Yes, sir. They're going to try.
All right.
Is it pretty much just cosmetic?
Yeah. Bent fuel cell and stuff like that. But other than that, everything else is cosmetic.
Is that something you guys are going to be able to fix at the track? Or are you going to have to go somewhere and do that somewhere else?
All my guys are headed to fix it right now.
Oh, well, cool.
Hey, if you see three weird-looking people walking by, flag us down and come over so we can get a chance to meet you.
I'm going to tell you what, Jet, and it's going to be three weird people, and the easiest way to pick them out is look for the bald guy with the goatee and the overalls.
Look for three beach balls with eyes.
we're gonna make the run up to Ocala tomorrow to watch you guys race, and... you know, that's we were talking to B.J. Calvin, the announcer up there at Ocala Speedway earlier, and he was really complimenting on how fast you were until you backed it into the wall. So sent you back to the. Are you okay?
Neck and head's a little sore, but I think we'll live.
Right. So you guys pretty sure you're going to be able to get that thing put back together then, right?
We're going to try our hardest.
I also heard somebody did. I got word that somebody else hit the wall up there today.
Yes, sir. Cody Pitts.
Was he all right?
Yeah, he was fine. It just knocked that front bumper over a little bit. They're headed home to fix it.
So you guys think you're going to be able to get the car back to the way it was before? I mean, you said you were pretty fast. You were running 3/10 faster than everybody else. You pretty sure you're going to get that put back together?
They say what they can, so we'll see.
You sound pretty young. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
16.
Oh, goodness.
16? You're still...
How long you been racing?
Just shy of a year.
So.
And you're racing up there in this big, huge, super late model race.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Do you find it intimidating running around with the likes of Wayne Anderson and all of them?
No, I think it's more of a challenge to race guys like him.
So you've been doing this for a year. Did you race anything else besides the late models that you're running now, super lates?
Yeah, I started in go-karts and then went to open-wheel modified, and then we bought a late model.
What do you like the late models a lot better than the open-wheel modifieds?
Yes, sir.
Did you find out it was, is it the bigger tires or the smaller tires?
Bigger tires.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. More meat on there. A lot more room to grab that asphalt.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, we got some young guys in this racing in these super late models. It's amazing.
What's you said you've been going at this a year. How many have you got any wins under your belt yet, or are you still searching for one?
Got one. We won 2 weeks ago at Ocala.
Wow.
So you know how to win there at Ocala. So now you're trying to back it up, aren't you?
Trying to.
What's
Memorial is a big race, though. There's a lot of heavy hitters there, so.
That's weird. We were looking at the list. I had it pulled up a minute ago. You've got, let's see, who's some of the big names was, Wayne Anderson's there.
Mike Franklin James
is there.
Powell.
Kevin Durden.
Kevin Durden, yes, Patrick.
Right now.
Actually, most of them are.
Yep. So far, who do you think your biggest competition is going to be if once you get your car put back together? Who looks tough?
Wayne Anderson.
There wasn't even a question there.
he's like,
it's hard to beat, but it's possible.
You got to be watching for that big red machine.
Yeah, watch out for Mike Franklin, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's no wimp on the racetrack.
Whereabouts on the track did you back into the wall, Kurt?
Between 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. How is the track this weekend shaping up?
We tested yesterday. It was probably 100 degrees out. A little slick, but there's a lot of rubber down. Everybody's moving along pretty good.
Yeah, buddy.
Have you guys had any rain come through there yet?
It lightened and sprinkled for a little bit. Still hadn't cleared up, but it hadn't rained.
Okay, because I was kind of watching the weather computer. Might get some rain through there. I'm not sure if it's going to. It looks like it's probably going to be early in the morning, late afternoon, but it looks like it'll move out.
Bite your tongue.
Oh, well, you know.
What's your car number, hon?
9.
Number 9.
Mm. Number 9.
Is there
number 9.
Is that something you picked, or was that given to you, or is that just a number that you've ran along?
The number my dad wanted, so that's what we stuck with.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, running your dad's number.
Who's your sponsors on that car?
Jet Concrete.
So that's your dad?
Yeah, that's my dad's company.
So that's why he can pick the number, any number he wants, he gets, right?
Oh, yeah.
So far, I mean, I know you've already got the one win there at Ocala, so that one's probably, you've figured out how to win there, so I'm sure that's probably your favorite speedway right now. What's some other places that you've raced at that you've really enjoyed?
Been to Lake City, New Smyrna, Lakeland. Supposed to be going to Bradenton Saturday.
Have you ran at Bradenton before?
Never been there.
Oh, man. That's that's a fast little Soup Bowl right there, buddy.
I think I've heard.
You're going to have a good time. That one, that track right there will definitely sit you back in the seat.
Oh, yeah.
Well, once again, we're going to be coming up there. All the folks here from Inside Florida Racing, Jack and Carol and myself, we're going to be coming up there tomorrow night. It's going to be my first trip to Ocala. And Kurt, good luck to you tomorrow night. Good luck getting the car put back together. I'm sure you guys will be doing a good job, and can't wait to meet you, sir.
All right, appreciate it. I want to say thanks to Chris Cater, too. He's my crew chief, and if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be where we were at right now.
How long's he been in racing?
He's been in it all his life. His dad had a race car, so he's been around it all his life. He's the crew chief, Jay Middleton.
I thought that name sounded familiar. Yep. Well, too cool. You got an experienced crew chief right there. Just you keep listening to those guys, and they'll get you right up there in the winner's circle. They've already done it once.
Oh, yeah.
And we thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We wish you the best of luck tomorrow and look forward to meeting you and your dad.
All right. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
Kurt Jett, young guy, man. I 16
years old.
It's, what was it?
Well, Cody's young, too.
Well, yeah. I remember when I was a kid sitting in the grandstands at, you know, DeSoto or Charlotte, you know, and, okay, wow, I'm really good. I'm going to show my age. When I was a kid in the grandstands, when Stymus was running DeSoto, and every once in a while they would bring these four kids out. I remember one of them running like a Comet or a Maverick. And it was painted up Richard Petty colors, number 43. Can't remember the kid's name, but they had three boys and one girl, and they were all between the ages of 6 and 14. And they would come out probably once a month and just put on this little show. And it's like all the racers that we had watched race were older. I mean, a lot older. Maybe, well, 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, some of the older guys. And we were saying the young guys were the racers that were in their mid-20s. But they'd bring these young kids out there, and you're like, man, these young kids behind the wheel of a car, everybody was excited, cheering for them, you know. And it's like nowadays it's nothing to see a 6-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 16-year-old behind the wheel of a race car.
I'll tell you, we got some hot racers, too. Some of these kids are phenomenal. Dustin Dunn, Staropoli, Ross Chastain just won 6 in a row at Charlotte County Speedway.
Live from the bathroom wall, HTC.
Oh
no, hide me. Hey, you.
Hey, girl.
How are you?
Pretty good.
This is Carol's.
This is going off.
Thank you for being on the show. We'll see you next week.
Carol is as giddy as a schoolgirl over here right now.
You got to talk to Jason. He's going to tell you some stuff that's really going to be fun for you.
How you doing, HTC? My name's Jason Beckner. I'm the.
He's Matt.
The Matt's out of the bag.
Well, yeah, the Matt was out of the bag when I talked to Carol the other day. And she told me who HTC was. And I got so excited, man, because growing up as a kid, watching your dad race, man, Hank the Crank Thornton and the Running Rabbit, week in and week out, we would make the trek from Naples to DeSoto Speedway. And all I could think about, jumping up and down in the backseat of my mom's Chevelle, going, man, we're going to go watch the Running Rabbit. And I got to tell you, your dad was something else. And I just want you to know I enjoyed watching him race. And it was always the highlight of my weekend to go watch Hank race and watch that little red rabbit go around the track. I can remember him coming down and running Charlotte County Speedway one time and got into the wall, put it on its side, ran down the wall on its side, still in the gas, and the car ended up back on its wheels. I don't know how it happened and how he did it, but, man, I just got to let you know I enjoyed watching your dad race over the years.
Well, I appreciate that.
What's this?
If you only saw him in the rabbit, though, you missed a whole lot more.
Oh, man. I tell you what, Matt, if you can hang out for a second, we got to pay the bills, do a commercial, and we're going to come right back to you.
All right, appreciate it.
No problem. This is Inside Florida Racing.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stub?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
That guy right there is a champion. He's been a champion all his life, but he's been in a race car. That right there is an exercise on how you race people. The 19 car, I don't know what to say on that deal. I'm up to the door, going in the corner. You know, we're counting cautions. It's a 100-lap race. You know, up to the door. I don't know how far you got to be, but, you know, that's just racing accident. And the balloon, just purposely go underneath the caution light. That's absolutely ridiculous. And,
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Hopefully.
That was just a little while ago down at the Charlotte County Motors.
You were there.
I was there. I was the one holding the microphone. And the whole time he, Franklin, was talking, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm going, man, wait till he gets back to the pits.
Is Matt still on the phone?
Matt is waiting for us.
Matt, you still there, buddy?
Still here.
Oh, cool. Sorry. We had to pay the bills.
I understand that.
But once again, Matt, it was funny. Carol told me who you were, and I was like, man, that's too cool. Do you still run into people that are like that finally realize who you are and they're like, man, we loved watching your dad race.
Oh, you ought to read the DeSoto Speedway message board. That was one man that was very much loved.
Well, we have a lot of people on the DeSoto board that remember Sarah Manna and East Bay and old timers. So, I'm kind of on the in-between there.
You're kind of in between.
So when are you going to get your butt out there in a race car, huh?
We might do it again here someday.
Soon, I hope.
We'll see.
Matt, you've been known to be pretty outspoken on the message boards.
Who, me?
Who, you?
It's a lot easier when you have a whole lot of time to sit at the computer and type up what you want to say and what you think.
Well, sometimes stirring the pot
a little bit more sarcastic, I guess. But
Matt, what are you most passionate about racing? What these days really, really, you know, what is it that if you could get all the promoters together in one room, what sermon would you give them?
Oops,
I know what I would do.
Like everybody would want them to work together and try to make a some type of a common ground that they can all share. And we have a lot of racers here in Florida, a lot of good cars, a lot of good people. But it seems like too many people want to fight against each other, and they want to run on opposing dates, and they can't work it out. They have all this little infighting going on, and it's not It's not good for their own, you know, front gate.
You know, and I'll be right here and I'll say it right live. I think all these track owners that do not want to work together are a bunch of freaking babies. They are a bunch of freaking babies. And here's the reason. They're not children. They're not on a schoolyard fighting with each other saying, I want Sam's bottle of soda or I want what's in his lunchbox. What they don't freaking realize, man, Jack, you had to get me started too. What they don't freaking realize is there are a bunch of racers in the state of Florida, and it doesn't matter. You guys, every single track in this state can run the same set of rules and not have to worry about not having a car count. They'll have a car count. They'll have racers show up. They'll have fans in the stands. They're idiots.
It's a two-sided coin there, too. I mean, you got racers that are kind of the road horse enemy once in a while. They shoot themselves in the foot more times than not.
I agree.
And they want to – you start with a nice, you know, entry-level class like an Enduro. People get out there with a four-door Cadillac, you know, something – they throw a roll bar in, and we got us a racing class. You know, this is what the Bombers started at.
Exactly.
And then, you know, the next year it's, well, we should, you know, we can run the takeoffs from the street stocks, and we should get a header. We should get a little better bottom end. They kind of build on themselves, and pretty soon you've got another street stock class.
You know, Matt, you probably remember this very, very good. You remember sometime along the mid-90s, probably right around the mid-90s, at DeSoto Speedway, they started a class called the Novice Class, which was probably not a good name for it, but it was a great little class. And do you remember how quickly it took for that class to go from a $500 car with a roll cage to an $8,000 car with a $4,000 motor?
I can imagine. That figure time, I wasn't going onto the track quite a bit as much as I am now,
yeah,
back then. But
took 3 years.
I remember it. They did the same thing with a class they called the Enduros.
Yep.
They did the same thing back in the 80s with a class called Street Stock.
Yeah. And it's happened at
late model before too long.
Yeah, it happened up at Columbia or at Citrus in some of their entry class. It's happened all over the place, and that is you're right. You hit something there. It's a lot of times drivers are their own worst enemies.
I'm glad you hit it with Matt too. There, Jack. Matt, because I tell you what.
When you start off the promoters and the owners, it's always easy to jump on them and say, you should charge us less to get in. You should charge us. You should do this. You should do that. You should pay us more to race.
Well,
they've got an agenda, too. They've got their – it's a business for them. They're in it to make money.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a tough balancing act. It's a very tough balancing act.
I don't envy any of them. I wouldn't want their job, but there's areas for improvement for everybody.
You know, I agree, and it's just like you said, that's something that's very near and dear to my heart because this is inside Florida racing, but I got to bring it up. Up north, my brother races at a track on Friday night, and he races at another track on Saturday night. Those two tracks are total opposites. One is a NASCAR sanctioned track, the other is not, but they run the same rules, and they are 100 miles away from each other. The thing is you've got tracks like that in Florida. They're different sanctioned tracks. They need to start running the same rules. You know,
time when you can run a NASCAR track on one night of the week and run your home track the next.
Exactly.
It wasn't if you were running for that division's points or something, and NASCAR got wind of you racing somewhere else, you were the black dog for a while.
Yep.
They didn't appreciate that too much.
Yep.
Matt, we're going to have to cut this short, hon, but we sure love to have you back on again because I know you got a lot of things we could talk about.
Just read the message board.
Well, now we need to get a voice behind that a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'll call all these promoters out all day long. You know, I understand that they...
I don't want to see you call promoters out because, like I said, they have their deal too.
Well, you know...
They have to be able to listen. They have to work both ways. It's just a two-way street that... Everybody's got to cooperate on.
Absolutely.
That's basically what he means by calling them out. We're just, you know, hoping that everybody will work together.
Yep.
But we appreciate you being on. Please come back again and have fun racing this weekend.
All right. You too. I wish I could get up there for the Fowler Memorial.
I wish you could, too. You want me to come get you?
I appreciate the work it takes to go into those kind of races and do it. But
yeah. You want to ride up there?
I got to work at the fire station tomorrow.
Oh, okay, man. All right.
One of our firemen. Good job, man.
Take care, Matt. Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you again real soon, man, and we'll pick your brain a little bit because I know you got some ideas about things.
All righty.
Thanks a lot, Matt. I appreciate it, bud.
See you guys.
Night.
Yeah. And you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Bye.
So, guys, what do you think? Your first little tour de force here in the Inside Florida Racing?
I think our Carnations should get on the message board and let us know how we did and give us some...
Carnickians.
Whatever.
They're just down the galaxy from the Cardassians. Okay?
Cardassians?
Cardassians.
Oh. Anyway, to
not
make
to
it...
be confused with the Klingons.
Oh, boy.
We hit it now, didn't we?
Please, people on the Karnak message board, we appreciate any criticism, any ideas
we
for
never
future shows.
Criticism.
I do.
I take constructive criticism well. I take negative criticism very well. And I understand that all these track owners have an agenda. They need to make money. They need to keep their tracks running. And... yeah, you got me on a tear. It was something I wasn't going to bring up or say anything about. But, yes, we know you track owners. You need to make money. You need to keep your track open. You need to bring the fans in. We know that. There is no excuse, none anymore.
Well,
there is no
excuse. Won't they make a lot more money if they worked together and had more cars?
They absolutely would, okay. But they're so blind and so greedy that they can't see that.
And, folks, this is our last show. Thank you for coming
by. That's not the last show. That's not the last show.
Just kidding.
I told Jack that.
Hey, man.
He reminded me. I was going to get him riled up. And if they want to say something, well, the number here every week, 941-219-3576. You can catch us here every Thursday night from 7 till 9 on.
And you can email us for now at info@realracingusa.com. This show will be available in its entirety on the internet tonight.
Oh, cool. Podcast?
Podcast.
Sweet.
If you don't know what that is, go to Google and type in PODCAST. Carol, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I'd like to thank everybody that listened in, all of our guests, especially thank you. And it's been fun.
And I want all the promoters who want to strangle
Jason Bechner.
Just Jason. Actually, it's Racing Jason Bechner. Send us an email or arrange. We'll have you on the show, and we'll talk about all the ins and outs.
Yeah, you can tell me how a racetrack is ran. That's quite all right. I'll listen to you. I'll listen to everything you have to say. If you want to go to the Charlotte County Motorsports website, my email address is right there. Send me a personal email or put it up on the Carnack.com message board. I'll get it. That's no big deal. But it is time for us all to work together.
It's come down to this. 100 laps, 5 to go at the line. 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number 1. They start to fan out. Coming off of 2. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off of turn 4. White flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers. Anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out. 2 by 2. 3 wide coming off of turn number 2. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top. Trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4. They're still 2 by 2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing. Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
We're gonna do the St. Pete Boogie and have some fun, you all. We're gonna do the St. Pete Boogie, have some fun, you all. Go down on Central Avenue, drink some alcohol. When you do the St. Pete Boogie, to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey Lord, can't you hear me call? When